Forces Radio and Television Service presents the Bob Hope Show with Les Brown and his band of renown. And yours truly, Bill Goodwin. And now here he is, Bob Hope.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're at the Long Beach Veterans Hospital, which is about home.
At least that's what they call it when the nurses are within earshot. Nurse, that's the girl in the white uniform who can take your temperature and give you one, both at the same time. To give you an idea how cute the nurses are in this hospital, somebody hung a bunch of mistletoe in surgery, and they have to operate on them and wants to get his lips unpuckered. These nurses are so cute, they even have to put a speed limit on wheelchairs here. Everybody wants a ricochet romance. But really, this is a great place, and I wish you could all see this gorgeous auditorium we have here. And I asked Colonel McBrien what time I could put on my show for the patients. He said, right after dinner, Hope. That's the usual time for their sedative. It's wonderful to be down here on Christmas and sharing the fun. The cooks here went all out for Christmas. They wanted to give the boys a white Christmas, so they bleached the beans. I'm kidding. Actually, they had a wonderful turkey dinner and topped it all off with a flaming dessert. Flaming dessert. That's better set fire to it, Max. Somebody goofed. Naturally, Santa came to Hollywood. He went to Red Skelton's house and left the joke book. Then he went to Les Brown's house and left the clarinet. Then he went to Marilyn Monroe's house and never left. But my wife has been hinting for a mink coat, so I have to do something about it. I gave her two minks and a book titled The Virtue of Patience. I didn't do very well this Christmas. Very well. I hung up my stocking when I went to look in it. Foot powder. But I got a few gifts. The boys in the band gave me some cologne. You've heard of Taboo. This is called Babaloo. You don't sprinkle it on. Desi Arnaz comes around, sprays you with a perforated maracas. I won't say it has a powerful scent, but as I was driving past Griffith Park, two skunks came out of the trees and yoo-hooed at me.
Now, folks, let's go back to this morning when Bob was at his home in North Hollywood working on his Christmas list.
You know, Christmas is getting out of hand, Bill. I've spent over $500 on presents already. Look at this list. My agent, $100 gift. My producer, $100 gift. Les Brown, $75. Imagine spending $75 on a band leader who doesn't even know the words to Shaboom.
I don't know, Les is a big band leader, Bob.
Yeah, thanks to me. When I met him, he didn't have a clarinet to blow in. For Tennessee Ernie. And look at this, a $75 gift from Margaret Whiting. I'd like to know what she does for me.
Well, she sings a wonderful song.
So does Cass Daly, and I'd have somebody to shoot pool with. I didn't mean to blow my top, Bill, but if one more person tries to get a Christmas present out of me, so help me, I tell you.
Hiya, Mr. Hope. It's just the mailman. Thought I'd walk right in because I got a lot of mail for you today. Merry Christmas. I always remember you, and I know you won't forget me.
Boy, did he pick the wrong time.
Dump these letters on the table. There you are, serving you as always, day after day. Like our motto says, neither hail nor snow nor sleet shall stop this courier from the swift completion of his appointed rounds.
Is that the end of the commercial, or is there more?
Well, I'll be seeing you, Mr. Hope, and hold this thought. When Christmas morn dawns bright and clear, and you partake of Yuletide cheer, think of all the poor mailmen from here to Nantucket soaking their pooped-out dogs in a bucket. Well, hold on!
Thank you, Nick Kenny. Thank you.
Well, see, Bob, now you'll have to give him a present.
Yeah, especially after that laugh he got. Well, let's see what he brought, Bill.
Oh, plenty. Look at all these Christmas cards.
Bob, who's that long, narrow card from? Oh, that's from Gina Lola Brigida. It's the only way she could get her name on it. Say, isn't it a cute card? Santa riding on a big pizza pulled by 14 anchovies.
Hey, you know something? You sure do get a lot of cards.
Yes,
and packages,
yes, I know.
Bob.
My fans are wonderful to me, Bill. Why, I just mentioned on the air those rents of them. Look at them all.
Yeah, I see them. But gee, won't they rot if you don't put them in the icebox?
Yeah, well, the pits will come in handy anyway. I'm stuffing a mattress for Milton Berle.
Bob, have you bought gifts for everyone?
Yeah, Bill, except my wife. I'm going crazy trying to find a present for Dolores.
Well, everybody has trouble finding a present for his wife, Bob.
Yeah, this is the only time of year I'm glad I'm not King Farouk. I sure wish I could think of a nice present for her.
Well, doesn't Dolores give you a hint of what she wants?
Well, usually. Last year, she told me how beautiful Betty Grable looked in silver mink coat and dark glasses, so that's what I got her.
Oh. Gee, she must have flipped on Christmas morning.
She did. She thought I was going to get her the mink coat, too. Come on, Bill. Let's run downtown right now and see if we can find something for her.
Okay, Bob.
Let's go in this department store right here. I wonder if the floor walker could make some suggestions. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah?
I noticed your striped pants and cutaway coat and that carnation in your lapel.
Oh, I'm the chairman of the United Nations. I'm waiting for John Foster Dulles. His plane lands on the mezzanine any minute. What can I do for you?
Well, I've got to buy a present for my wife. Do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, how about a fur coat? We have a heavenly silver mink coat for $15,000.
No, that's too much.
Well, we have a blue mink for $10,000. Or a lovely ranch mink coat for $5,000.
Look, what can I get for about $200?
A shower curtain with...
Now, look, don't use that tone of voice to me. It isn't the gift that counts, it's the spirit. And besides, I thought you were supposed to be polite to people.
To most people. But there's two customers the store says I can insult any time I please.
Yeah, who are they?
You and Jack Benny.
Please, don't compare...
...ties in for a refund the other day.
Well, everyone exchanges ties.
Yes, but you were a little late with yours. They all said, win with Landon.
This present doesn't have to be anything as fancy as a mink coat.
It doesn't?
No, my wife has very simple tastes.
Yeah, I can see that.
You must have got up on the wrong side of your hairdryer this morning. Now, will you please direct me to the less expensive gifts? I've got to get my wife a present.
Yeah, very well. Go straight down this aisle, turn left through housewares and notions, then turn right through cotton goods and straight on out.
Where will that take me?
To the sidewalk. The Salvation Army is right next door. You can snatch something for her off one of the racks.
I've had it. Somebody put him back in Max Factor's window. Here's Margaret Whiting with It's Christmas Time Again.
Snowflakes falling, church bells calling, it's Christmas time. Fires lighted, kids excited, it's Christmas time again. Now Santa's sleigh is on its way. Santa Claus bring to good little girls and boys? Candle glow and mistletoe, it's Christmas time again. Carols sung and stockings hung, it's Christmas time again. There's a tree to trim our glasses brim with love and joy and cheer for years. There's a tree to trim our glasses brim with love and joy and cheer to all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Now let's return to earlier this afternoon. We find Bob still shopping in the department store.
Be careful in this crowd, Bill. You know, the first guy who bumps into you might be a pickpocket.
Oops, pardon me, bud. It's crowded in here, ain't it?
Yeah, I was just telling my friend in this mob, you got to watch out for pickpockets. You know, in a crowd like this, there are all kinds of dishonest persons. They look as honest as you and me, but they're nothing but cheap, thieving crooks.
Well, heavens to J. Edgar Hoover. Well, thanks for tipping me off, Buster.
Oh, no. I play it safe. I keep my wallet right in my pocket. What'll I do?
Tell you what, Buster, you wait here and I'll run for the store detective, huh?
Okay. Oh, no, on second thought, don't bother. There wasn't any money in my wallet anyway.
No money at all? How do you like that? Anymore. Well, all right, I'll be seeing you, Buster.
Goodbye.
Well, before I go, do you mind if I make this pink chalk mark on your back?
Well, what? So long. See you on Dragnet. Perhaps I can find a present for Dolores here in the jewelry department. Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir?
Are these bracelets diamonds or rhinestones?
Oh, they're diamonds, sir. Everything in this case is diamonds. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks like Bobo Rockefeller's deep freeze. Well, how much are these bracelets?
This one is $15,000, this one is $12,000, and then they go all the way down to those cheap bracelets over there at $6,000.
Cheap ones at $6,000?
Oh, they make a fairly nice gift if you have a servant or an upstairs maid to take care of.
I do, but I don't know her quite that well. Yet.
Well, you decide which bracelet you want, sir. I'll take care of that other customer down there.
Okay.
Gee, $15,000 for this little thing.
Pardon me, but... Oh, it's you again. Hiya, Buster.
Oh, hello there.
Well, well, look at the pretty diamond trinkets that somebody left lying around. Now, if the wrong person came along, these could easily disappear.
Yeah, don't stand too close to the counter. You look like the type who inhales.
If you are trying to hurt my feelings, you have succeeded. Now, I will not stay where I am not wanted.
Goodbye.
Au revoir, arrivederci, and toodle-oo.
Right where you are. Police! Police!
Now, wait a minute.
I didn't steal those bracelets, and I'm warning you, I know the people who own this store. Where are you taking me?
Right into this office.
How do you do?
Well, who are you?
Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Hubert Updike III. I am the owner of this establishment.
Oh, well, I knew the people who owned it before. You must have just bought it.
Well, not exactly. Dear old Dad gave it to me for my birthday.
He gave it to you for your birthday?
Yes, Dad is so thoughtful. For my last birthday, he wanted to give me an ocean liner. He wanted to give me the Queen Mary or the Queen Elizabeth, but the Cunard Company wouldn't break up the set.
Now, wait a minute. I'm just as good as you are.
Now, please. No one is as good as I am. From Columbus.
From Columbus?
Yes.
Then what are we arguing about? I'm from Cleveland.
A lot of happy losers here tonight.
Ooh, how vulgar.
What's the matter?
Well, how dare you compare yourself with my family? You upstart.
All right, so you come from one of the first families. Who cares?
We are the first family. In our set, George Washington is a wetback.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
No, we're a very, very old family. My great-great-grandmother was the first person to step off the Mayflower. Poor old girl.
Poor old girl?
Yeah, she stepped off while they're still 50 miles from shore.
Oh, that is too bad.
Yes, yes, what a way to go. She died with a clump of seaweed in her hair, a smile on her lips, and a bustle full of barracuda. Enough of this, I tell you. Kindly return my property, or I shall summon a blue coat.
Oh, now listen, you crew-cut Fort Knox. I didn't steal a thing. It was that other fellow that was in here.
Well, if you'll just give us the name of your accomplice, I'll see that you get a reduced sentence. A reduced sentence, possibly only 5 or 10 years.
5 or 10 years? That's awful.
No. Dear old Dad knows the warden. And he'll get you into the part of the prison where the rich people go. Oh, you'll love it. Your own ticker tape, cell-to-cell carpeting, and it even has a contour electric chair.
Who are you trying to kid? Nobody's that powerful.
Well, Dad is. Dad is the richest man in the world.
Oh, yeah? How about Howard Hughes?
We have him down for a care package.
Well, how did your father get so rich? Is he an oil man?
An oil man?
That's a lot of oil.
You know the Flying Red Horse?
Yes.
Dad posed for it. Daddy has all the money in oil. It saves it from getting rusty.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know why I should be divulging all this to just an ordinary criminal.
Now, listen, Uranium Head, I'm not a criminal. I didn't take those diamond bracelets. I'm innocent.
You didn't take the bracelets?
Definitely not. Look at me. Don't I have an honest face?
You're weakening your case.
We caught this man shoplifting in the silverware department, sir.
Shoplifting? Me? Why, I was just browsing.
You were just browsing? Are you sure you didn't take anything?
Scout's honor.
He belongs to the Rat Pack troop.
Well, he does look rather uncouth. Turn out your pockets.
Now, wait a minute. There ain't nothing in my pocket.
Turn them out, I say.
Well, okay. When I browse, I browse.
Why did you take the bullets instead of me?
Well, you own oil companies and stores and banks. Too many people would suffer.
And you?
All I've got is the Cleveland Indians. I'm glad to go.
beautiful Evans and Livingston Christmas number from Lemon Drop Kid with Margaret Whiting and yours truly, Silver Bells.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Strings of streetlights, even stoplights, blink of bright red and coppers rush home with their treasures.
Hear the snow crunch, see the kids bunch, this is Santa's big scene, and above all this bustle, you hear.
Silver bells, silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling,
hear them ring. Soon it will be Christmas Day.
The preceding Christmas program has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.